Thank you so much, everybody. Quick question. Is Laura Privis on the call?
I do not see Laura.
Nor, yeah, I don't either.
Okay. Can somebody give Laura a call?
I just texted her. She said she's almost going to be here. But I can do some things without it. What I wanted to do for this quote-unquote presentation was to introduce the development director, the new development director here at KPFA, as well as introduce the new interim program director. Unfortunately, let me start off grounded here. Give me a second. On February 1st, KPFA welcomed its new interim program director, Jose Gonzalez. Unfortunately, Jose is not available to be introduced to the local station board today.
Because he had a baby.
Yes, I am so proud to say to everyone, I didn't do the work. But he greeted his first child yesterday, so I would like to formally introduce him to the LSB at the May meeting, the May 17th meeting. But just wanted to let you all know that he's not going to be here to be introduced to the local station board today. Just some things for you to note of what has happened with regards to programming changes and special broadcasts in the past 2.5 months after our last meeting. The Black History Month special went on the air without a hitch on Saturday, February 1st, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I want to give a thank you to Prema Jackson, Rashida Chase, Rod Akil, and all of the producers and music programmers that made the Black History Month special a success. If you want to listen to it, you can go to the archives pages on KPFA's website, and then this little report that I post on KPFA's website, there'll be a link there to listen to the Black History Month special. Another thing that happened since the last local station board meeting, after 27 years, Sarah Holmes and Karen Sanders of Herbal Highway ended their time here with us at KPFA. They wanted to retire the show. And so that happened on Tuesday, February 4th. If you want to listen to that farewell show, it's on KPFA's archive pages. Again, that's on Tuesday, February 4th. And two of the producers that were participating or that have been producing on Herbal Highway for years, Emiliano Lemus and Rene Camila, took over the show and rebranded it as Planting Medicine. Same time, same day. That's Tuesdays at, I want to say 1 o'clock. Hopefully I'm not saying that incorrectly. Let me just make sure that I'm not giving you wrong information.
That's correct.
That is correct. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that, Laura. Yeah, so that's what happened with Herbal Highway. And, you know, applause goes out to Karen and Sarah for doing that show for 27 years. And then another special that's happening today is International Women's Day programming. It started at 6 a.m. and I think it's going to end at 3 a.m. Tomorrow morning, very early in the morning. Special thanks to Teresa Wersbianska, EA, and the plethora of hosts and producers involved to make it a success. It's on the air right now, so after the LSB meeting, feel free to go on 94.1 FM to listen to International Women's Day programming on KPFA. So those are some of the special broadcasts and one change in programming since our last meeting in January. And now I would like to introduce our development director. On January 1st, KPFA welcomed its new development director, Laura Privis. Laura has a long history with the station. She began as a volunteer news reporter and worked at the station in many capacities. She was executive producer for The Morning Show, program director, and fund drive manager. She also served as a staff representative on the local station board and national board for 3 years. Her decades of experience at the station as a listener, volunteer, and employee, her intimate knowledge of our programming, and her expertise managing fund drives poises the station to bring in new large donors. Also, her passion for listener-sponsored radio and her unwavering support of the station's mission and values makes her an excellent advocate and promoter of KPFA. I would love for her to give her own brief introduction about herself to you all and state some notable achievements that you may or may not know about her from her time here with at KPFA, and then her goals for 2025. And you're on mute, Laura.
And now I'm not on mute. Hi, everyone. My name's Laura Privis. As Antonio said, many of you know me from the station for being there for a long time. So I just picked up the role of development director. That's after, you know, many years of working at the station. I actually started in volunteering as a news programmer at the beginning and then moved through working on the morning show and kind of the morning show, since that's in drive time, it's prime time radio, it was very important to make sure that we raised the bulk of the funds during fund drives during those hours. So I became the person who was always finding fund drive thank you gifts, organizing ideas around the fund drive. So long before I became development director, I was deeply enmeshed in raising money for the station. And also when I was program director, which, you know, the main bulk of the job is to deal with all the on-air programming, the fund drives also became a part of my job as program director. And now I've moved into development director and I'm still got the fund drives that I'm working on. And our last fund drive was very successful. And we're very, very happy that that is the case, that listeners have come out in such strong force for their independent radio station at this, you know, dire time in history. Well, you keep saying, like, you know, KPFA and its mission is more important than ever. And that phrase just keeps being more and more true. So our founders were definitely onto something when they decided to look at advertising as basically censorship, and that our independence was based on the fact that we could raise funds from our community and not from corporations or compromise ourselves in any other way. So we have a lot of freedom because of our mission, and it's amazing that we've survived, but we have. And if you look at the, you know, we actually have a database system now that can show you how what funds are coming in and allows comments from listeners. And, you know, comment after comment is, we rely on you so much. We love the programming. It's just very exciting to see, to have that avenue of interaction with the listeners, and also that we have so much positive support from our community. We're doing something really important here. And I've also been on the board, so I want to thank all of you for your service to KPFA on the board. I know it's not always easy. It's not always fun to come to these meetings. I did it for 3 years on the national board and the local board. But it's necessary for us to have this support to have the whole operation run. Couple things I guess I could talk about, like things that I've done over the years. Like of all the fund drives that I've worked on, like five a year for 11 years, that is about $2 million a year that I helped to raise, which is about $20 million over that time. I've introduced things like a long time ago, there was some stations, and we did it too. If we didn't make our goal, we would extend our drives. And some of the other stations ended up like extending and having these ridiculously long drives. Well, I actually had the idea, like, we have like instituted a new idea of having a post drive. So after the drive is over, whether or not we make the goal, there's a momentum that's built up from all of the pitching on air with all the thank you gifts and whatnot. So we kind of want to like catch that momentum. And we do that by still not pitching directly on air and giving out the phone number and all that, but just letting folks know where we stand on the goal, that we still need their support, that you can still get thank you gifts. And that, tends to bring in, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, you know, a certain an amount that we don't want to not bring in, obviously. So that's kept us being able to tell listeners we're going to keep our fund drives and on-air fundraising as short as possible and maximize that time to raise funds and then get back to regular programming. The other things that I've done is, I've advocated to get rid of the summer drive, and I hope we can do it again this year. Because actually December, the end of the year, is the best time for a nonprofit to raise money. People can, deduct charitable donations from their taxes. Some people, you know, their accountants or whatever, they figure it out that they have so much money to give at the end of the year to help them on their taxes after the year ends. So we've worked to maximize that point is the best time to raise money. We do have a drive right there, and then we keep asking up until the end of the year. Often we've made $20,000 or $30,000 in donations the very last day of the year, because, you know, people wait till the last minute to do things. You know, sometimes giving up until midnight on the last day of the year so they can take that deduction on their taxes. So I've tried to put more of an emphasis on that drive. During the summer, our listenership is down. Radio listeners have listened by habit, and their habits change over the summer, as a huge group. So people take vacations, school is out, all those things. So that's a harder time to raise money. So just to take the pressure off us to raise, why try to raise money when our listenership is a little bit lower? Why not work on trying to raise money at the most optimal time? So that's another thing that I've advocated for many years. A couple of times we've been able to, not have summer drives. I hope we can maybe just get rid of them for the future, because it's just not the best time to fundraise. It makes it hard on everyone, listeners and the people who are on the air pitching. I think all my experience, all my institutional knowledge is really going to help me as far as talking to donors, building relationships with donors. We haven't had a development director for a while, and that's kind of like the main thing, is to be able to understand donors and cultivate relationships with them, because we're sharing we have a shared vision of what's important in the world, and KPFA is one of them. Another thing that as far as my goals, so that's one of my goals, is to really get a handle on our to build up our relationships with our donors. And we actually have a lot of really large donors, and very loyal donors. So like the most important thing at the beginning, I'm going to be thanking people and doing that. And, you know, like a one-on-one situations on the phone or writing letters. And, you know, it's important to acknowledge people when they're supporting you. And we try to do that on air in other ways as much as possible as well. Also, you know, we have built our own database, and this is an area that it costs money. You know, like these days we have, you know, the fact that you can go online and donate there. You know, it used to just be on the phone and writing on cards, if any of you worked in the phone rooms. Now it's all, you know, inputting it into a system that, you know, connects with banks and credit card processors. That all costs money to maintain and keep up to date. We built our own. It needs more work. It's something that I've talked with Antonio about. It's something we've had to emphasize, to keep in good shape and it's technology. So it's always changing. You have to keep up with, whatever the latest thing is to make it work right. So it's an important area to have well maintained and in shape and as state of the art as we can be as a, you know, underfunded nonprofit. Yeah. And just to be able to with those relationships with donors to work on also, increasing off air fundraising with the hope of decreasing on air fundraising. And so that we could do more just regular programming, which is what people want, and still fund the institution. So those are the things I'm thinking about at the beginning of this, my 10 years as development director.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. Welcome to our meeting, and we look forward to working with you. I see there's a couple of hands up, and I'm going to call on Cheryl Davila. Go ahead, Cheryl, you're muted.
Yeah, I know. It takes me a minute. Thank you. So it's nice to put a face to the name. I've been a listener since I was 18, 16, 15, something like that, to the Pacifica. But anyway, it's international. Last Saturday was International Women's Day. I'm not sure why they didn't have that program that's on today, last Saturday, maybe because of all the actions that were going on. I'm not sure, but today I was so disappointed not to have the gospel experience because that's a Black woman's show and it was eliminated. And the dead, when they put the dead on the radio, that it's not eliminated. So that was really disappointing. And also I'm just curious as to how you're preparing for the fascists that we're facing right now in the, you know, that White House. Thank you.
And Antonio, do you want to go ahead and answer that?
So for the two things, the first one is for the special broadcasts, especially for like Black History Month, International Women's Day, the collective talk about what hours they would like to have the special broadcast from. So essentially it is the collective that kind of makes the decision on start end time. And so that is kind of how the decision is made about which shows get preempted. And then for the second question, do you have a specifics on like how we're preparing? Or do you just, Cheryl, like I'm kind of curious, like what?
Well, there was nothing said about that. And, you know, we know that we're facing, you know, some kind of, we don't know, what to expect, or they could take us off the air. They could do whatever they want. They're doing whatever they want. So I'm just wondering, like, how KPFA, and you all specifically are preparing for what we don't know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that there's a lot of conversations in the background about potential, there are fears that people have that, could come to fruition. And so all we can do right now is plan on what our response would be. But at the moment, a lot of it is having meetings with also with Pacifica's, team as well and other radio stations and then within our building of what KPFA and the Pacifica Network could do. But a lot of it is at this moment kind of having those conversations to figure out what would be the next best steps. So that's kind of where we're at this moment. And there's still more conversations that need to be had.
Thank you. I'm going to call on Philip Maldari.
Many thanks, Laura, for all of your good works. I might mention that whoever support D is has not muted, and we keep getting little blips of feedback from support D, whoever that person is. Would you mute so that we don't get your, yeah, that's support D right now. Would you please mute? Laura, I took note of the fact that in the previous fiscal year, large donors were about $350,000. And then in this past year, large donors were $1.5 million. I'm assuming people died and left money to us in their will. And that, I mean, that they died is obviously sad. But in the meantime, putting KPFA in your will is obviously a very substantial way for us to raise money. And I'm hoping that you have ways of following up on that. We, in the past, have had estate planners on the air to do programs in which we talked about exactly how this can be done. And so the difference between $350,000 and $1.5 million is huge. And it really means that the last fiscal year ended with a surplus of $1 million. I don't know if that surplus is going to be snatched by Pacifica. When you look at the spreadsheet, when you look at expenses versus income, income is $1 million ahead of expenses. So what's your reaction?
Yeah, I do think it's a good idea to do some estate planning on the air. We do have that on the website, so it's available under like other ways to donate. We talk to donors about that. And I just had someone offer to put their house in their will to KPFA yesterday. So yes, we are always working on all possible ways to donate. Yeah. And I'm not sure about your math on that. I mean, I don't know how maybe, Antonio can talk more about, but I don't know of a $1 million surplus.
Yeah. I don't think we're in that place, Philip, but, for what everyone here needs to know is that, you know, KPFA is, Pacifica is considered a business, and there are things that the business needs to pay for. We are in a building that was built in 1991, if I'm correct on that date. And there are some things that need to be addressed with the building. And so there's a lot of hidden costs that come up or that creep up. Well, I don't say it's hidden costs, but costs creep up that, we need to pay attention to. So a lot of the times that, we do start getting, donations from people's wills, it's a godsend. It's wonderful. But a lot of times we end up having these costs that we weren't prepared for. And so just know that, the goal that Laura has is to start bringing in money in different ways that we haven't in the past, or to rebring back those avenues, like getting us on wills. And then the other task, with the management team on my end is to figure out where are we needing to start either reducing spending if possible, or, I mean, essentially it's a concerted effort for the team. You know, some people in the team are figuring out how to reduce. Some people in the team are trying to figure out how to raise more. And other people in the team are trying to figure out how to make it more efficient with what we have. So, I don't know if that answers your question, Philip.
Just a second. I'm looking at a document that was sent to us, Pacifica Foundation, KPFA monthly statement. And it indicates on this document that the surplus for fiscal year ending September 24, the net of income over expenses was $1,045,000. This is your document. So if you don't know that you have a surplus of $1 million, then I question your documentation.
Okay. What I'll let you know is that we do have about 2.5 months of reserves. So it's probably going to be close to that amount. Since that time, we've had to spend money on certain things for the building. So a lot of that stuff probably has been brought down. But I can safely say that if we had to, well, actually it's not true, because if we had to close shop today, we probably wouldn't have enough funds to pay out all time, what do you call it, vacation time and all that stuff. So we're still working toward building up more reserves. Okay.
Thank you. And Antonio and Laura, we are over time on this item, but I'd like to just take the last few questions of the people who have their hands raised to our board members and who have not spoken yet. So if we can just have the questions and answers be under 90 seconds, that'll be great, and we can extend to make sure that everybody gets one question. Go ahead, Carlos.
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, welcome, Laura, to the new job. I hope it's not overwhelming on you. And thank you for all the good work you've done in the past. Two quick points. One a question, one a point. The point is, I think we should have, and maybe we already do, and I don't know, a rainy day fund account or savings. I think that's why I'm against, for example, cutting short fund drives. I think we need to build that rainy day. One of the reasons would be, for example, going to Cheryl's question, if we get an attack from, and we need funds for legal defense, that would be one source we could go to. So I think we need to build that rainy day fund. The question is, I remember in the past, many nonprofits had people that specialized in grant applications for applying for funding for grants. I don't know if that exists, but if it exists, even if we don't have in-house person with that expertise, could we maybe hire somebody to do some of these applications? I mean, even if we pay them and do five applications, but if we get one, sometimes it's so much money that it's way, way positive, worth the, you know, worth the effort.
Thank you, Carlos. We're kind of running out of time on this item. So Laura, do you want to answer briefly if you can?
Yeah. I mean, we have tried that in the past. I think, you know, we're limited in resources. It's not a bad idea. We actually just got a grant from UC Berkeley to get another reporter in the newsroom. And that was just initiated by the head of the news right now. So yes, but also, I think it's very important to go where, to focus on where the biggest return on investment for us. I don't know if we don't like that phrase. I have to focus on where I'm going to bring in the most possible money. But grants are on the table too, but that's, you know, not my primary focus right now. And like you said, because of limited resources, that was something we would have to have another whole job to focus on, because it does take a lot of time.
Thank you.
Get it successful.
And that's a possibility for the local station board to work on that in the future, to have a team. Anthony, please, fast question, and let's keep the answers fast so we can get to our other items.
Well, greetings, Antonio and Laura, and happy birthday, Antonio. I hope we'll see you every meeting, especially since this board doesn't meet every month. And I want you to know, I would have made an excellent program director 20 years ago or so. Now, perhaps not, because the competing forms of audio are so many and confusing. But my question, as to the PD job, I'd like to know where it was advertised other than the KPFA and Pacifica websites. Did you advertise it in Current Magazine, for example?
No, we did not do it in Current Magazine. There was a few places that we posted. I think I want to say ZipRecruiter, Indeed. But that being said, it's what we have to do is we actually have to go through a different process for posting it and filling the position. And I don't know if any of you have known, but they've already started posting the general manager positions in Pacifica. Mine's going to be included in that. And so what has to actually happen is that the GMs have to be chosen first, quote unquote, officially hired, and then from there do the official hire for program director.
And real quick question, how many applications?
Antonio, we need to go on. Let's go to Stan.
Yeah, real quick question. Obviously, we don't accept any sort of corporate advertising or underwriting, something which I totally support. But what if progressive organizations, primarily trade unions, were to get money? Would there be any problems in, say, if my former union local could be persuaded to give $1,000? Would there be any prohibitions on trade unions, with the understanding that wouldn't apply any favorable coverage necessarily? But would there be any problems with progressive organizations as organizations giving money to KPFA?
I don't think so. You know, I'd have to do some research on that, but I think that would be fine. I think that's happening at BAI right now, which is, yes. So I would have to do some research.
Yeah, I believe even the Carpenters Union in New York City gives money to WBAI. So just wondered. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look into it.
Virginia?
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say I really loved that promo for the Women's Day special with the, some say girls should be seen and not heard, but I say, up yours, blah, 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 blah. the x-ray specs. And, you know, if you got some more humor and wild stuff like that, I really think you would catch listeners, new listeners. I think, you know, as a development director, the new, I guess he is the development director. He's got some good promos too. I think I really appreciate those. Thanks.
That's Jose Gonzalez, the new IPD.
Thank you, Eric
Gendelman. Thank you, Virginia.
Yes. I would like to know, I don't know who is the head of the news department now. I was going to respond to Carlos's comment about any legal assault against KPFA will be defended, I hope, by Pacifica, because we are not a legal entity. And I would like Laura to please address the success of the sustainer programs.
The sustainer program is going well. And we, at one point, we had two databases. We just got rid of this other database that was problematic. And in the process, we tried to switch everybody over who was a monthly donor through that database, and we couldn't switch everyone. And so we lost some monthly donors there for a little bit. So far, this last drive, we recovered 37% of those donors. So, it is definitely something that we say on air all the time. It's true. If we had more monthly donors, we could eliminate a fund drive. So it's definitely an area of focus for us.
Thank you. Fred.
I just want to answer a question. Unions have donated several hundred thousand dollars to the network in New York, and that's been very successful. We can do that here. That's not a problem. That's enough. Regarding the FCC, we have really good representation, and we are in an excellent position for not being sued at this time, and for our licenses not being suspended due to the actions that we've taken in the last year. Thank you.
Thank you. So I want to just take a moment to acknowledge that Michael Cheng and Richard Walensky have joined. Michael, will you say hello, and Richard also?
Hello.
Yeah. And Richard, are you there still?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Yes. Thank you. The recording started late. Candace, at the end of the meeting, will you stay on and just read the names of the people who were at the meeting into the recording? Okay. Candace, you're muted, but I see you're nodding. So the next thing we'll go on is to reports, and we have a report from our KPFA LSB treasurer, Steve Kukala. Let's Steve, are you ready?
Yeah, I sent a written report to the station board. There's been expressions that we don't really distribute the information, so I gave you what I picked up since I became treasurer. The foundation is undergoing, they're doing their taxes and they're in the process of doing a couple years of audits. So the financial staff is pretty darn busy. And there is a problem within the foundation is we don't have staff and, we have basically one person managing the financial record keeping for five units. And, so there's a lot of demands for financial records and clarifications and so forth. And they're not being met in what many consider a timely manner. I just want to push back a little bit. The people that we still have are working their asses off. It's not them. It's, I guess you could say it's us. We're not providing sufficient support for our financial, staff. And I heard we need more, developmental staff. So I think we recognize that we have some significant limitations, and they manifest in slow record production at times because they have priorities. And right now the priorities is taxes and audits. And if you have any questions, please direct them to me and, I'll get them without unduly burdening our staff. It would help everyone. Outside of that, I wanted to speak a little bit about there was a large apparent surplus in some of the financial records. That's kind of consistent with Pacifica record keeping. We didn't fully pay our central services in the prior financial year. So, we did. We caught up, but when we got a surplus, we paid all our bills. So, even though for a moment in time we had a surplus, we had obligations that we needed to address and they got addressed. And we took advantage of that and skipped a fun drive last summer. So there you go. The money was well spent. That's it. Whatever I wrote, I stand by. I guess we lost our chair. Any questions?
Can you screen share your chart for the different stations and show that, Steve?
I've been having technical problems, and everybody should have it. I sent it. They have their own copies. If they have a question on it, I certainly have my copy.
Okay. Well, the chart shows just how strong KPFA is in relation to some of the other stations. Anthony, you have a question?
Yes. Steve, are you saying that the many months of underpayment of central services has all been made up now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Christina, can you comment on that? Steve, I do not believe that's accurate. I believe what is accurate is that some of the stations are now paying central service.
I think he read for KPFA. I'm the KPFA treasurer. I'm not Pacifica's treasurer. So when you ask me a question about, it'll be related. My responses will be about KPFA unless you specifically pay Pacifica.
Antonio, Anthony, were you talking about KPFA or Pacifica?
KPFA.
Oh, okay. No, that is correct. Thank you. Okay, let's go on to the next.
Michael.
I have my hand raised as well.
Oh, Michael has his hand and Cheryl. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I don't recall seeing an email with any of that information that you're stating. So can you send it again, please?
Can you please check your spam folder?
Yeah, I have. There's nothing in my spam.
It came from me, CSHOT9 at Yahoo.
When was it sent?
The last one sent this morning, and others sent a couple times this week.
Thank you. While we're waiting, Michael Chang.
I put my email address as my name on the Zoom here.
Thank you.
You know, it's been sort of known that WBAI has owed some of the premium gifts that have not been sent to the people who contributed. Is that still the case, or that's been caught up? I know you're not the treasurer. You don't know I know you're not a treasurer for Pacifica, but someone
may address that.
Yeah, I'm going to call on Fred Dodsworth to answer that question. He is chair of the National Finance Committee.
Yes, unfortunately, there are thousands of premiums that have not been sent going back many years, and that potentially expose the network to enormous sums, not including penalties. The good news is that the new staff at WBAI is actually working through that, and they are actually converting some of these people who have every right to be extremely disgruntled into new subscribers. They've changed the entire model. We no longer sell products at WBAI, and we are getting enormous sums of money from unions that our general manager at WBAI has garnered that come without strings and without restrictions that have helped us broadcast things like the national election, primaries, you know, things like that, that really should be covered by the network. And frankly, we're also working on a Pacifica-wide news program. As chair of the NFC, I can tell you that we have made enormous progress. I cannot tell you some of the details because it's very, very problematic, and we do not want to get get the attention of district attorneys and such for what has happened there. And so we are working our way through it. Finally, WBAI is actually starting to have fiscal records that are transparent and real, that account for income and expenses. Also, in the transferring of all bank accounts to a central bank account with several entries and a national treasurer or national budget manager, we are actually controlling what monies are spent by whom and what sums are coming in and from where. And we are literally turning the corner on what has been a death spiral. You were mentioning the fact that WBAI over the last 20 years has encumbered the network with $8 million. Well, that is a sum that is several years, 3 or 4 years out of date. That sum is much, much higher now, but it has turned around. While WBAI is still, and several of the stations are still running deficit budgets, fortunately stations like KPFA are not. And we have literally been carrying the entire network for 20 years, which is why I find it rather ironic when people start talking about the importance of their local LSPs having access to the figures, because frankly, the local LSPs are advisory. And every station is owned by the foundation. No stations are independent. If they were, Pacifica would have left this network probably years ago. but we are now putting the people who are responsible for paying the debts in charge of paying the debts and in charge of the income. And we have made such remarkable progress. I am extremely proud of what our organization has done, and you should be as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Candace, I'm going to ask, Steve has put together some really beautiful, beautiful charts, and I think it's important for people to, for us to be able to see them. So Candace, can you screen share those?
Yeah, I do. Give me a minute to get it. If you want to talk about something else till I find it.
Okay, let's go on, and we'll bring up those charts in a few minutes if that's okay with everyone. So, what we need to talk about next is, PMB reports, and I believe, Zach, sent me a copy of a report, and, other PMB directors are also invited to share. So, Steve is sharing. He got it.
Oh, good.
Good.
Very good.
Go ahead, Steve. Do you want to talk about it, Steve, to introduce this, chart?
Well, I'd hope the document I sent was self-explanatory, and if there were questions, maybe I could answer them. I didn't really intend to make a presentation.
On
this chart, you look at the revenue and expense percentages. I think that is a real quick way to assess how any of the stations are performing. Obviously KPFA's revenue is far higher percentage than its expenses. But if you look at KPFP, it's 8 and 8. So they're managing them. And this was, don't forget, this is like a year and a half, 2 years ago. But they're self-sustaining. They're doing much better now. KPFK, 13% revenue, 14%. So, they're struggling. That tracks to this day. And they're struggling even more because Antonio was talking about building maintenance. A couple of those stations didn't do it. And KPFK, their signal reach right now is half of what it should be because of maintenance issues. So they're reaching half as many people. So you can pay me now, you can pay me later. They're paying now. So you look at WPFW, that's a little concerning, but they seem to be very well managed. So, it bears monitoring. But then you look at WBAI, that's clearly out of alignment and is unsustainable. I could maybe move on to another chart.
Yeah, just saying the blue is the revenue and the orange is the expenses.
Yeah, and I was looking at this percentage because I find that quick. You don't have to look at all these numbers. The numbers are cool, but I can look right here right now and tell you where we need to look at. And it's right there. Or at least we should monitor them much more closely as the NFC. This is not a KPFA thing.
Thank you, Steve. We need to go on to the next item, but I really want to see those charts, and you have them in your emails. So the next order of business will be the PMB reports. And Zach, I believe you have a report. And thanks. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah. So on Thursday, the PNB passed a motion that directs and authorizes the Pacifica Executive Director and National Board officers to engage a licensed California attorney to prepare, present, and sign a settlement agreement for the Pacifica versus New Day Pacifica case in court-ordered mediation. As we know, the Pacifica Foundation is at a crossroads. And we must transform to survive the challenges facing independent media in 2025 and beyond. I think fundamental to this is smaller, more experienced and skilled boards, which would be critical to strengthen our internal structure. And I think so context and history here is important to understand what happened on Thursday, as it's important to our collective future. And that is the New Day bylaws reforms already won a clear 1,500 vote margin majority a couple years ago with 6,640 listeners voting yes to only 5,200 voting no, including majority support among three of the five station staff members. So this is, these reforms were already proven supportive by members. But unfortunately, due to election interference, particularly at WBI that manipulated the staff vote, these reforms were blocked. Now we get a chance to revisit some of the most important ones because our governance is broken and the 22 member board is too large and divided into factions that block progress year after year. This endless infighting causes constant leadership turnover, preventing stability or success. So the new, some of these New Day bylaws propose a smaller, more effective 12-member board directly elected by listeners, staff, and affiliates. So we're bringing more democratic elections back, plus three appointed experts with broadcasting management experience. I think that's critical to stabilize finances and improve programming. So local station boards would focus on outreach, community engagement, and fundraising, as they should have been all along. We also can't afford 72 elections over 3 years. It's a waste of resources better spent on stations and staff. So these reforms that would be mediated or negotiated would streamline elections, and this would cut costs and dysfunction. So this negotiated settlement agreement we came to on Thursday isn't just practical. It's necessary to stop the financial bleeding and fix Pacifica's governance. We don't want to get in a big legal fight, especially a losing one, because what happened in that election is belligerent and grotesque. So we owe it to our members, our mission, and Pacifica's future to make this right. And on Thursday, we just took a huge step towards doing this. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I'd like to hear from all the directors, and then we'll go to questions. I see Donna Carter has her hand up, and then Fred and Philip. Oh, I'm sorry. Philip is next. Sorry. Well, let's, yeah, go ahead, Philip.
So, again, Donna and I and Fred were in the same meeting as Zach on Thursday in executive session, confidential. It should be said to this local board that the powers of the local board under the New Day framework are very limited. So, in fact, each of the five stations will have a vote of listenership to elect one person from each of the listener areas to the national board. The local board will no longer play any role in selecting from among its own members people to sit on the national board. So again, our local board responsibilities will largely become those of what we call the community advisory board. We will essentially be like the CAB and not a governing board. So people need to get ready for the fact that that this is a big change in how the foundation is structured, and it would eliminate everybody on this Zoom call, eliminate our ability to elect national board members, to fire managers, to pass on budgets. None of that will be happening at the local board level. It will all be happening at the national level. So I don't want to sugarcoat this New Day change. It is a big change, and I support the change, but I do want people to not be blindsided when they realize what a change it really is.
Thank you, Philip. Donna Carter.
The settlement that is recommended for the mediation is the exact same settlement that the Jan Goodman of the PNB presented to 4 years ago when the suit was brought up. That's one point. Philip is correct. The LSB, as we know it, will no longer exist. And so everything will be centralized. And I have a little bit of a problem with that as we all sit here in this LSB meeting, because we are a community radio station, not a national radio station per se. That developed later. And I think one of the things about KPFA and all the other stations is the wonderful thing about it is that it is community participation, both in the issues of governance at the local station and the national as well. So this seems a bit extreme and a bit centralized. I also would like to point out that in the statement that the people who drew up this mediation points opened up with is, we really need this due to the national situation, essentially. And I disagree with that entirely. We're not going to buy our way or squirm our way out of what's going to happen on the national level federally regarding public radio, NPR, and Pacifica. So those are my concerns.
Fred, did you have a report? And Fred, go ahead, Fred. Do you have a report?
Yeah, I disagree with what Donna said. This is not exactly the same thing. This was actually hashed out by a number of people that were not involved in the litigation at all. And they took the cherry pick between the current bylaws and the New Day bylaws. I also need to say that whilst KPFA established itself as the first wonderfully progressive independent radio station, we also created a national foundation that in fact owns all of our assets, that owns every license, every building. Every asset we have is actually not KPFA's anymore. And it hasn't been for decades. The difference is that KPFA is not buying its way out, but paying everybody else's bills. When a station in some far-off eastern community signs contracts that cost us $157,000 for phone services that nobody saw coming and slapped us across the head like a 2x4 a month or two ago, KPFA had to kick in for that. It was a national debt, even though it was not signed by anybody at the national level. If we had been a little more cautious about how our sister stations are operating, we might not be in this position. But there's a fantasy here that this is a local radio station. This is a local radio station that we listen to and that we have advice on. That is what a cab does. It is not, and I've sat on the LSB now for 4 years, okay? It is not our responsibility to actually decide where we're going to spend our money, because if we were going to be responsible for where we'd spend our money, we wouldn't be paying $157,000 phone bill for someone else elsewhere. It's just a sad, you know, reality. And I'm excited. We have 260 affiliate stations. Many of them are doing better than KPFA. And we need to learn and lean on what our affiliates are doing. We need to create a united resistance radio that covers all of North America and even Africa and South America, because that's where our affiliates are and that's where the news is, and that's what we're hoping to do. I'm chair of the NFC because I was asked to be on the LSB. Somebody told me that they needed me there. I didn't want to be on the LSB. I didn't want to be chair of the NFC, but in that I am in those positions, I will make sure that what is done is to protect the Pacifica network, to protect resistance radio across the nation, which is especially problematic in these insane times when we have a would-be dictator at the head who is totally doing things that are unconstitutional that the Supreme Court seems to approve of. Well, I am really, really glad that we settled with the FCC, because had we not settled with the FCC, Donald Trump could have gotten us all five stations thrown off the air on January 20th. He can't do that now. We have a legal standing. We're actually in better position than NPR or any of the public education stations because we're not dependent on federal funding. We're dependent on our listeners. And it is, and I've sat on a lot of boards. It is the responsibility of people on boards not to dictate what needs to be done, but to hire the executive director, period. And if the executive director can't get done what we want done, well, then we fire her and hire a new one. Our other main responsibility for anybody sitting on a national board is to generate revenues, to go to their community, to get people to donate, to get people to listen, to get people to subscribe. It is not a place where people who want to run a small business belong. I've run small businesses. And let me tell you, most of the people on these boards don't have a clue how to run a small business, and they have run us into the ground. I am thrilled that we're actually now fiscally prudent, that we're transparent, and that we're moving forward, especially in these dangerous times. It does mean that, you know, we give up this kind of fantasy that we were in charge, but we were never really in charge. The money, the assets, everything belongs to the foundation that KPFA created, which is a national foundation that is no longer under our control. Sorry. I'm done. Carol?
Right. I was muted. Go ahead, Steve. I believe you have a question.
No, actually, I just... So Philip laid out the things that were, there's going to be big changes. I kind of agree with that, but we're not going to lose all that much. There's a delusion about just how much power local station boards have. If you closely read the bylaws, we don't have a great deal of power. What powers we have are articulated clearly. But what we do have is this terrible election cycle of factional screaming matches that does nothing but broadcast to the public in general that how awful we are, which totally takes away from just how important and how good our radio is. I was a supporter of Pacifica for more years than I've been a member. We never KPFA. The model of support still exists. It's a delusion. It's not membership driven. We just had a fund drive. All those people are supporting KPFA. They're not signing up to become members of Pacifica. So we're not going to lose all that much. Yes, we won't be able to feed our egos and become, you know, talking heads and get these platforms. But the radio station will benefit from it. I'm here to support the radio station.
Thank you, Steve.
I haven't seen the final bylaws, but
it's time.
I'm likely to support them.
Michael, are you timing? are you timing shares?
I could if I I will.
Okay. Not 90 seconds. Let's go ahead with people who haven't spoken, and go ahead, Cheryl.
I think it's interesting that the people that are in the meeting, and maybe they're, you know, I don't know, it's just that the protectors are always the people. Maybe I shouldn't be using that term.
Point of order?
Point of order? Cheryl, what's your point?
I'm calling on you to stop being a racist, and
you're not recognized to speak
right now. Point of order.
Cheryl, you're not recognized to speak. Okay.
Why not? You called on me.
Point of order.
But I think it's really unfair that somebody always interrupts everything I have to say. And he does, when
Carol,
that person
stop speaking or you will be moved to a waiting room. We cannot conduct our business when people are interrupting. There was a point of order because you
called on me though.
Stop. You're not recognized to speak. If you speak again, we're going to have to mute you and or move you to a waiting room, because right now you made an accusation about somebody, you used a name, and that's not permitted in this meeting. Now, go ahead, Fred.
You've made my point of order. You're not allowed to name organizations or people with accusations. These are strictly regulated by Robert's Rules of Order.
Okay.
Point of order is well taken. You are not recognized to speak. Wait until you're recognized to speak, please. I want us to try and have a peaceful meeting if we can. And that means please don't call names. Don't insult people. And I know that, you know, we don't want to get into food fights. Please, we have 2 minutes left for this discussion. So please go ahead, Cheryl, and finish.
It's just always the same thing over and over again. Some people get to speak. Some people get to be heard.
I'm going to stop you again, Cheryl.
And others don't. I didn't name any names.
You are not on the topic right now, Cheryl. Please speak to the topic. We're talking about the director's reports. Thank you. Do you have anything to say? Okay, go ahead, Stan.
We don't get to see, you know, it's just a facade. That's all. Thank you.
Go ahead, Stan.
Some of us, at least on the board, were around in 1999 and 2000, 2001 and 2002, when in response to the attempt to totally take over Pacifica and sell it off to make it a chain of nonprofit, very much for-profit AM stations. We came up with, we beat back that attack, and we had a demonstration of 15,000 in Berkeley. And we also established a governing board that has real powers. I know some people might prefer Friends of a Valet model, where the only role of the board is to raise money from the bigger donors, the better. But I think if this goes through, if the local boards are stripped of any power, I think you're going to have a real reaction from a lot of the listener supporters. Because believe it or not, some people really believe in democracy. I don't mean democracy in Democratic-Republican sense. I'm talking about internal democracy. They believe their union should be democratic. They believe their progressive organization should be democratic. And they believe their radio station should be democratic. And that we had a great response to that in 2002. And I think you might be underestimating that some people really take this democracy shit seriously.
Thank you, Stan. Virginia.
Okay. I too, you know, there are, of course, most listeners now probably don't care about this democracy stuff because they're not encouraged to. And I understand, I think some of the bylaws need to be changed, but without some kind of voice around here. For example, some of the news programs are still quite conservative. And as long as there's a big push to keep paying people locally and nationally, there's going to be a moderating force in wanting it to be radical. And you're going to have some kind of input from people other than just paid staff to get more radical voices on the air. I worry about that. I guess that's all I have time to say now. I'm not saying that things shouldn't be changed, but the way it's going to be changed now, it's going to be structured by people who have self-interest in doing it.
Steve, I think we want to stop the screen share and it is 12:17. We need to go to our election. We need to go to the election for voting for committees. So, Candace, will you introduce the election process?
Okay, so after nominations are complete, hopefully they are by now, I haven't received anything new today, ballots will be sent from OpaVote. The email will read noreply@opavote.com. We will check with you to see if you've received the ballot during the meeting. And there are two seats for each of the governance and audit committees, and you may rank your choices. Ballots must be received by 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, March 16th, to be counted. The results will be sent to LSB members by email after calculations are complete and confirmed. So if you did not receive your ballot from OpaVote, please be sure to check your spam folder. If you are unable to access your ballot, please stay after the meeting and we'll help you with that.
Thank you, Candace. I'll go through and ask, are there any that, let me just announce that there have been three nominations for the audit committee. They're listed in the order received. Christina Huggins, Carlos Cohan, and Cheryl Davila. There have been four nominations for the governance committee. Myself, Carol Wolfley, Michael Cheng, Rabab Abdul Hadi, and Stan Woods. You may vote for your first and second choices on the ballot. And are there any other nominations? Okay. Hearing none. The nominations are closed and the ballot will be sent from OpaVote. You will have until, as Candace mentioned, until tomorrow night, 11:59 to return your ballot. And we went to an OpaVote, format because it was extremely complicated and challenging for our meeting administrators to try and get email votes and send emails during the meeting. And so we're going, most of the stations are going to OpaVote for their elections. OpaVote is an application. It is secure and we will be using that this time. Any questions about the voting? Dan, I see your hand.
No, I didn't mean to have my hand up. Sorry. Oh. Just didn't take it down from before.
Okay.
I have a statement to make about OpaVotes.
Oh, go ahead, Fred.
When you get your OpaVote, you'll need to put a 5-digit alphanumeric, your choice, identifier so that you can later check on the record. And you'll get a complete printout of all the votes and you'll find your own vote with your own, code so that you know that there is actual security of the votes. And I think that's important.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. I would like to invite
Carol. My hand is up.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Philip.
So are there two openings on each of these two committees? Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct. Two openings for audit and two openings for governance. Directors may not run because the directors are elected.
I just didn't think you made it clear that there were two openings on each of the committees. So that's what I wanted to underline.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes. When will we get the results promptly or will we have to wait 2 months?
Oh, Anthony. Did you want to wait 2 months?
No, as unfortunately we do for draft minutes and many other things.
So, the OpenVote will be sending the results to you after the election closes.
Oh, so it's automatic.
It's automatic. We are not.
That's a huge improvement.
Yeah, I think I am very relieved because it's been really complicated to try and do the elections. I believe if anybody wants to check their email that it will go out, the ballot will go out at the time of this meeting. And, I want to invite the candidates to make a statement. Please keep it to 1 minute. And I'd like to ask Christina Huggins to talk about the audit committee and your candidacy. And Michael, will you time them, please?
Oh, well.
Thanks. 1 minute.
Hi. Yeah, I would appreciate being on the audit committee because I think it's really critical that we get our audits up to date and that we get make sure that we support the board's endeavor to do so with the accurate information from all the different stations. It's something that's a requirement legally for the California nonprofit corporation law. And I'm very happy that the current leadership of the PNB is working hard on getting that done. So I'm here to support that effort. And I have been the chair before. I've been the treasurer for some time of the local station board. And I also was executive vice president of my local for 12 years, vice president of another local for another 20 years. And we had to run our financials in the black and make sure that we every month look them over. So please vote for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, point of order. This is Lily Kimura. I just got my ballot. Where do we put in our secret code? Because when you click on the vote thing, it takes you to the actual ballot and there's no room to put our secret code.
I have not used OpenVote. So I do not know if there is actually a secret code in this ballot. It's all automatic. So, Ms. Kimura, so nice to, see you. And I would like to just go ahead and vote.
Okay. Cause I know Fred just said that we had to enter a code, five digit code somewhere. So, I mean, do they give us the code instead of the old days when we had to write it in? I guess that's what Fred was trying to say, or I misunderstood. I didn't mean that Fred was clear. He's always clear.
Yeah.
I can explain that. This particular OpenVote does not have that five digit code. Every other OpenVote I've ever done requires a five digit code. My apologies. I thought it was helping, but this is a different OpenVote. And I'm not in charge, so.
Okay, thank you very much.
I just voted, though.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Go ahead, Carlos.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, very briefly, thank you very much. I second what Christina said. I do believe audits are fundamental for understanding what the numbers are, how the stations are doing, and for credibility with donors and people that appreciate Pacifica. I personally don't have a financial background, but I'm an engineer. I believe I'm reasonably good with numbers. I have looked at the audits for the previous years and some of the charts you will see floating around, I did them with spreadsheets and my knowledge of numbers and Excel. And I believe it is crucial to have these numbers right. When I heard that there were some audits that were failed by some stations, I couldn't believe it. We cannot, or by Pacific, I should say, I'm sorry. We cannot have failed audits. We need to get this right. So please, I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl.
Cheryl Davila, former council member, founder of the Climate Emergency Mobilization Task Force. And I've been was a bookkeeper for most of my career, office manager, purchasing manager, accounts receivable manager, did 5 different conversions in software where I was a liaison between the company and the software. I have a business economics degree with from Mills and academic award Omicron Delta Epsilon, which is International Honor Society in economics. I learned a lot on the job and then I got a degree in business economics. So I understand I had to create all the audit papers, make sure that when the auditor had questions to figure out what the problem was, did all the reconciliations to make sure that the financials were accurate. I understand accounting and all phases of it. So vote for Cheryl Davila. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. We'll now go to Governance Committee. We have 2 minutes left, so if you can keep it brief so we can open public comments, that would be great. Michael Cheng.
My name is Michael Cheng. I'm a relatively newcomer to this, but I have been on the Governance Committee. I'm currently on the Governance Committee, but I'd like to continue this job. I think this is an important job. We need clear head and logical thinking to support the overall activity of the station as well as the network. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Rabab Abdul Hadi.
Yes, I would like to be on the governance committee because of the continuing, especially the rising fascism that's going on today in this country, the more financing of Israeli genocide, bypassing government, the bypassing Congress, the violations that are happening by this government. And I believe the governance committee will be a way for us to model and think about how we can stop the government from doing the things that it's doing, specifically abduction of the student Mahmoud Khalil, the pressure.
Please finish up.
The universities, I'm finishing up. The universities and the education to kind of make things back into order and hold everybody accountable. Thank you.
Thank you. Stan.
Yes, my name is Stan Woods. I'm a former member of the executive board of IOW Local 6. I formerly served in the LSB, and now I'm currently serving the LSB. I strongly believe in internal democracy, and if I'm elected to the governance board, I'll do everything I can to keep what some have projected to be a done deal. I don't think it is quite decided yet that all democratic decision-making powers have been stripped from the LSBs yet. May happen, but as of yet, it hasn't. I believe if we're going to fight potential Trump dictatorship. We cannot do that by undemocratic means where people just have to obey orders. I think that we need a democratic input, and that's what I would try to fight for within the governance board of the governor's committee specifically.
Thank you. All right. It's time for public comments. And I see some hands. Go ahead. Kim Kaufman. I think it's Kim Kaufman. Sorry, it might be just Kim. I might have the wrong name. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, this is Kim. Formerly multiple times treasurer from KPFK, among other things. First of all, you had a surplus of $1 million for FY24, and 1.5 of that was major donors. Maybe they were bequests. We don't know. That means that you had a $500,000 loss on your operations. So if you don't get outside major donors, you're running at a deficit. Something to think about. I'd like to know why KPFA is still using premium models for their drives. They're preempting programs and pitching premiums. No other station is allowed to do that, and they don't do that. I don't understand how they file the 990s before doing the audits, but whatever, since there are no financial documents at all for this entire fiscal year, which is more than 6 months into the fiscal year. That's just unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. And everything that New Day has said, that people have said about New Day is complete misinformation. The PNB is so in violation of multiple bylaws.
90 seconds.
Representing Roberts.
90 seconds, Kim. Thank you. Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
All right, thank you. I've been a student at Columbia since last year, so the epicenter of what's going on with Trump, I'm very, very familiar with. The national board is ill-prepared for what's going to come down the pike. People may boast that they have, because of the consent decree, anticipated Brendan Carr with his attack directly on NPR and PBS. But frankly, they're out to lunch. They will come in and pull licenses. They already have threatened to do that. They threatened to do that with the mainstream media. So that's what we're heading towards, and people got to get ready for it. All we've had from this majority leadership is control, control, control. I'd be more impressed if they had announced a historic desire to increase our audience up to several million people in each of the stations. That's the way we're going to solve our financial problems. Instead, I see inaccurate numbers being put up. For example, in that chart you put up, it said that $1.3 million is the anticipated WBI budget. We're getting different reports here locally in New York that he's cut it down to $70,000 a month. And I put in a director inspection, which, as people on this board know, I, as a director, one's entitled to get that information immediately from the leadership of the board. I got nothing for 5 months.
90 seconds. Anybody.
So keep that in mind. I'm going to come back around. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead. W. Kirby, I think it looks like Washington. W. Kirby, Washington. Yes, go ahead.
Washington, yes. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say I've heard a lot of talk about getting union sponsorship for ourselves. I joined my first union in 1978, and I've got to let you know unequivocally, unions are very corrupt. Unions right now are not at all prepared for what's coming down. As just Jim just said, the unions aren't ready for it. They're hoping and praying that their reputation and their good feeling about we're a bunch of union meets labor, we're all good, is going to hold out, and it's not. And so if we are tied to unions and that bubble breaks and people start to see how seedy they are, that's going to stain us. So I really suggest, as we look for underwriting, be very careful about that. Let's be very wise about who we choose. Thank you.
Thank you. James Segerton.
Thank you, Chair. I tuned into this meeting a little late, but I thought I heard some discussion about what happened in an executive session meeting on Thursday about a settlement of a lawsuit and changes that were coming to Pacifica. I believe they were being openly discussed. And as far as I know, that's still confidential information. We on the national board have been asked to sign draconian non-disclosure agreements with heavy penalties. One of my biggest concerns about those documents are that they're going to be selectively enforced. So I'm wondering if I'm right, and there's been open discussion of what happened in this executive session, here on this meeting, how those members who engaged in that are going to be disciplined, or if it's going to happen at all. And I would also like to say, in line with some of the previous speakers during the meeting, you guys really have no idea what you sound like. You sound like, you feel like, you look like an authoritarian organization. And you really, you know, if you're going to be authoritarian the way you are, you should really clean up your public face. That's all. Thank you.
I want to respond as the chair with some information that what was shared here at this meeting, because of course we monitor issues related to executive session very carefully. And what was shared at this meeting was based on the report out from the meeting only, the report out, and then some background information, all of which is public documents, open documents. Thank you. Okay. Dr. Abdulhadi, this is a time for community to speak, so this is not a time for board members. I'm going back. I'm going to call on Sheila Hamanaka. Jim Dingman has already spoken. Go ahead, Sheila.
Yeah, thank you very much. Like Jim Dingman and James, I'm from WBAI, and thank you for allowing me to speak. I just wanted to say at WBAI, LSB meetings and public comment, board members are not supposed to respond to public commenters. I would like to invite everybody to rally around freedom of speech for Pacifica and the preservation of Pacifica and sign a letter, which you will find at the PacificaFightBack.org website. You'll see a sign that says defend community media and free speech or public media. Anyway, we do have to get together and fight back and organize along with other community media, along with PBS, NPR, get people together to defend community radio and to fight racism. We don't want to be like PBS, which immediately puts its tail between its legs and gets rid of all their DEI stuff. You know, a big part of fascism is racism, and we have to fight racism and stand up strongly. As weak as DEI is, we have to defend it. So I call on everybody, please go to PacificaFightBack.org. You can see our amazing new GIF. And
90 seconds.
Click on community, defend community media and sign the letter. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to clarify, you know, one of the rules of our meeting is that it's the community comments time is for community members, not for those in governance. So I apologize for calling on directors during public comments time. I do not know if Jim, can you clarify if you are currently on an LSB or the PMB?
I am a member of the public. I'm on an LSB, but we never have those kind of rules in New York, Carol.
Yeah, we do have a rule here that those in governance, because they have a role in governance, then they do not speak during our KPFA public comments time. I appreciate the things that you did share.
Well, Carol, that's a repression of opinion, and this is the public comment is open to everybody. Okay?
Okay. You're not recognized to speak now. I'm going to go on to Kim Kaufman. You're
requesting me to speak. I mean, you know, that goes par for the course with you guys out there in California.
Go ahead, Kim.
All right, this is Kim, and I want to support what Cheryl said when she was allowed to speak for getting silenced repeatedly, as members of the minority do. This new rule that nobody in governance from other stations can speak is a new one. It's not in the bylaws, and this is exactly what this LSB majority does. They just make up new rules. It's no different than what Trump is doing. You can't see yourselves, but you look bad and you want to run Pacifica with this New Day stuff. It's all just, it's incredible how completely you're imitating what Donald Trump is doing. You're not reporting on what's being bad done. And that's why, you know, your listenership is failing. You're not getting any new listeners. Nobody cares. You've just squeezed the life out of this organization.
Thank you. Your time is up.
60 seconds, yeah.
Sheila, did you have your hand up still? Okay, Sheila took her hand down. We will now go back to our regular meeting. Cheryl, Kim spoke twice. We are going back to our regular meeting. And
the half hour is not something you honor, and you basically are on record now.
Jim, you are not recognized to speak.
Well, I'm just saying
if
that.
If you continue to speak,
I don't care.
You are disrupting our meeting. You will be moved to the waiting room if you
please
can.
Do. I like to be in the waiting room.
Thank you.
I would support.
Please move Jim Dingman to the waiting room. Thank you. Okay, we will now go back to where we were
Chair?
Before.
I see one more hand still from the public.
Kim has already spoken twice.
I'm unaware of that rule.
Yeah, thanks. That's a rule in Robert's Rules of Order that people speak twice.
Now, no, it's not. Carol, you don't know how to read Robert.
Point, if you continue to interrupt, you will be moved to a waiting room.
And that's what despots do.
If you continue to interrupt, you will be moved to a waiting room. Thank you. Okay. We are now going back to where we were before, to our director's reports. To finish those, I'm going to call on Zach Caldevier.
Chair, I see a hand raised from Sheila.
Yeah.
We're now in director's reports. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, well, this is kind of now going back to what we were talking about, particularly the reforms in 1999 and 2000 that have failed so miserably that have been referenced a few times. And I just think it's important context to know why we're trying to improve the broken system that we've got. And, you know, these were a series of well-meaning but failed reforms back about 25 years ago. But unfortunately, you know, the victors of that struggle were largely unqualified and ill-equipped to run Pacifica, let alone keep pace with the emerging communication technologies of the digital age. And I think it's important that no one understands the costs incurred as a result of these failed reforms better than their architect, which was Carol Spooner, who is now seeking to undo the changes she led the fight to institute. And this is an important quote she just came out with not long ago. She said, quote, "We thought that the best way to protect Pacifica from any type of political or corporate interference was to write bylaws that incorporated the ideas of a foundation run by super democracy. I'm saddened to report that the exact opposite has occurred. The bylaws have resulted in nearly self-perpetuating boards with the same people and their chosen successors reelected in factional slates year after year since 2003. The foundation has been on the brink of financial collapse for several years due to mismanagement and self-serving and/or incompetent board members who just keep kicking the can down the road," unquote. So I think it's just important, if you're defending the system that has led us to this brink, where we have five stations in the largest media markets in the country with listenership hovering to 0.25%, with its donor base is going down from 120,000 in 2007 to less than 35,000 today. New York's WBAI in the largest media market in the United States with a potential audience of 20 million now has less than 7,000 donors. So let's just do our job, this reform, a clearly broken system, and that's what we're trying to do. And defending what happened 25 years ago is defending what was an unmitigated disaster.
Oh, Donna Carter, go ahead. Sorry, I was muted.
Ah, okay. Well, this is not the time when the bylaws were developed. This is a different time, and we have seen a real push towards control, lack of democracy, ignoring bylaws, muting people, all kinds of things that have occurred, which are not the appropriate response to dealing with the bylaws. Perhaps there could be better bylaws developed. I can't disagree with that. But these particular bylaws that are up for acceptance are just undemocratic at all. I mean, that's one extreme we had with the current bylaws and large numbers of people speaking and so forth and being elected. But what these do is limit goes to the other extreme, control. I don't approve of them.
Thank you, Donna. Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to address one point from public comments. All that information came from audits. They're not current, so there's some confusion there thinking their current financials. They're from reported audits. And I think it's interesting what I just heard. So the discussion is around the bylaws is because Pacifica sued that organization because they tried to use the bylaw provided mechanism for change, and Pacifica sued them.
Is Steve, excuse me, Steve, a director? I'm sorry, this is Virginia, but I wonder if it's out of order right now because others of us do not get to speak.
Virginia, please don't just interrupt, but in that manner, okay?
Is P on the PNB? I'm sorry if I don't know that, but I don't think it's.
It is not on the PNB.
Then it is not appropriate for him and not the rest of us to get to speak.
Stop, Virginia. If you want to say something, please make a point of order and wait to be recognized, okay? So just for the future, if you have something you want to say, say point of order, okay? And then I will recognize you. And if you think what your point is that Steve is not on the board right now, we are in a discussion of the director's reports. So it is in order for people to speak. We have 10 minutes left for the meeting. I want to leave 5 minutes for announcements. So please go ahead, Philip. Wait, Steve, were you finished?
Well, I got finished.
Okay.
It's just that this is a result of Pacifica suing another organization who tried to use our bylaws to affect change. People speak about democracy, and people that go to use democracy were attacked.
Thank you. Okay, Philip, and then Dr. Abdul Hadi, sorry, go ahead.
So the governance change that is being addressed here from what exists currently was voted on by the listenership of the 5 stations, 3 years ago? And they voted in favor of the change by over 1,500 votes. So, and as far as the change being undemocratic, it is electing one representative from each of the 5 station areas to a national board of 12 people. It also sets aside seats for the staff, paid and unpaid, at each of the 5 stations. It includes the affiliates. This is a streamlined, more centralized, responsible board that will select 3 people of special expertise that they need to guide them in fighting off the Trumpoids, fighting off legal attacks, which we know are coming our way. The the situation that we have now. Look at the number of names and pictures on your screen right now and realize that this is not real democracy. This is, in essence, a way of deluding ourselves that somehow magically we're going to come up with the right conclusion, including the ideas of everyone at this table, including the person holding the sign saying free speech. So we need to actually form a national organization that can fight back successfully, and that's what these changes will do.
Thank you, Dr. Abdul Hadi. Go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to just make something about the whole bylaws. I think this is the time when we really need to have more flexibility and more possibilities for us to not have more centralization, but actually more possibilities for us to interact with each other, to have more democracy, not less democracy, in order for us to be able to respond to the fascism and the centralization and the brutality that's coming out of the government. And I think that's the way that we can include and bring in more movements and collaborate with the movements outside. I think if we're going to be mimicking what's happening from Washington, then why is it that people would want to affiliate and identify with us? They wouldn't want to do that. They are going to go to other places where they were going to be identifying. So I am definitely for much more openness and much more collaboration and much less draconian ways in which we conduct our meetings. It is very, very toxic, and it's very uncomfortable to be. And also it's very uncomfortable to have.
Dr. Abdul Hadi, you're off topic right now. Thanks.
I'll stop. But there is no space to do that. So let me know when there is a space to do it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. All right. We have, go ahead. Christina has not spoken at all yet. Go ahead, Christina.
Yes. I think we have certainly gone off topic of the bylaws. And I did want to say that, all of this, accusation of anti-democratic, you know, we're trying to run my perception, and I was chair for many years, is that we're obligated to run a meeting that has order. With looming fascism, it's more important than ever to have the ability to run a meeting in a respectful manner, and yelling at people or calling them names like racist and just pell-mell is not constructive. And we lost $300,000 from the two gentlemen that just spoke from the WBAI because of their defamation, which is calling people names and making unfounded accusations. So I think it's really critical that we are respectful to one another. The judge in the decision that he wrote stated, defamation is not protected by the First Amendment. So defaming people and throwing mud at each other, a food fight, is not a constructive meeting. We have rules in place not to call each other names, but to use evidence. And so I just wanted to state that, because the democracy that gets kicked around so much that we seem to be losing in this country, fascism is looming over us. I totally agree with Dr. Abdul Hadi. I mean, we have, you know, a genocide happening in Israel against the Palestinians. We have all kinds of terrible things. We should be able to run a controlled meeting where we treat each other with respect, because otherwise we are not going to be strong enough to withstand the looming fascism. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. I'm going to now open it up for announcements and appreciations for KPFA members. We have a time certain end of 1 o'clock. So if you have, this is only for announcements. It's not about complaints. It's not about arguing. It's about if you have an announcement of a community event that you would like people to know about, please raise your hand. Otherwise, please lower your hand. Does anyone have any announcements or appreciations of a KPFA staff member or KPFA? Thank you. Okay, I am seeing Anthony has his hands raised. Go ahead.
10 seconds. This is a good reason why we should not put a straitjacket on ourselves and
okay,
have this arbitrary 1 o'clock sign off. Thank you.
That was not an announcement.
No, it wasn't.
Go ahead. Stan, go ahead. Stan, you're muted. Stan.
Yeah, I'm unmuted now. On April 19th in Concord, there's going to be mostly aimed at Contra Costa County residents, but also welcome to people from throughout the Bay Area, regardless of your zip code, anti-Trump, pro-workers' rights, anti-war, pro-Gaza, pro-environment, pro-social security, march and rally gathering at the Concord BART station at 1 p.m. on April 19th. And if people are interested in participating in our one-person, one-vote Democratic meetings, is a coalition that goes from Indivisible to various Marxist groups, the group Indivisible, Liberal Democratic Group, to the Contra Costa Labor Council, International Longshore and Warehouse Union, et cetera, et cetera. Please contact me, and we're going to have organizing meetings up until April 19th. And please come April 19th, Concord BART Station. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. Dr. Abulhadi, do you have
I have a couple of announcements. On Monday, our Palestine Arab Muslim Caucus of California Faculty Association is holding an online teaching at 11 a.m. On Palestinian prisoners. I will send you the announcement. Everybody is invited. It's online with the prisoners and lawyers. And we are also having sign up two petitions, one by the Jewish community against the abduction and the ICE attack on Khalil, Mahmoud Khalil, and also other students at Columbia, and also a fundraiser for bail money for all the students. So I'll share with you the links, and we would really appreciate everybody shedding light on this and supporting it as much as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Abdulhadi. Please send it to Candace, the secretary. Candace, do you want to go ahead and share about what your how people can contact you as secretary? Candace has a different email address, and also share about where they will be getting their agendas and information. Thank you. Go ahead.
I have an announcement.
I'd also like to just say that the I give out misinformation on the where the ballot would come from. The subject will say KPFA LSB election for Pacifica committees. And let me see what it looks like in my inbox. OPA vote voting link is who the email comes from. And then, with much confusion about emails and whatever, we created a new email for the LSB secretary, and it's lsb.secretary@kpfa.org. And I sent that out to the board, and hopefully everyone got that message. And hopefully going forward, that's where they'll, emails will come from me. If not, you'll see my C-SHOT-9. Anyway, whenever you're expecting an email, from KPFA or any kind of correspondence, please be sure to check your spam folder, because I had two emails this morning from KPFTX with the reminder for the meeting, and both of them were in my spam folder, one from yesterday and one from today. So it's important to always check your spam folder.
You just send us the email again, please. Just the email to everybody so we can. No, just the, where we send you announcements and stuff. That would be very helpful.
lsb.secretary@kpfa.org.
And do you want to explain about the agenda notice? So that it comes through, some of the emails come through the agenda notice.
Oh, right. Ooh. Yeah, they come through the agenda notice I haven't looked at how it comes from, but I think it comes from lsb.secretary.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
We are at time certain. Unless there is an objection, I would like to extend for 1 minute. Cheryl Davila had her hand raised. Go ahead, Cheryl. Cheryl is not here. Okay. It is 1:02. The meeting.
I have my hands raised.
Because Cheryl wanted to make an announcement, Carlos, I'm so sorry. It is, and it's time to adjourn. The meeting.
Can we extend by 1 minute? I have an announcement.
Oh, you have an announcement. Okay, go ahead.
I apologize if somebody already said it, but there is, I think it's the group Indivisible. Is organizing a major, major march on April 5th, Saturday in Washington, D.C. I don't know. I believe they also want marches at other cities, but they've been doing very effective work meeting with congressmen, and now they want a major march on April 5th at Washington, D.C. If you want information, go to the Indivisible website, please.
And Carol, I would just like to ask if everybody did get their ballots, and if you're having trouble, to please stay after the meeting.
Very good.
I can help you.
Thank you. And Cheryl, glad you joined us again. Did you have an announcement?
Yeah, I have a Climate Emergency Mobilization Task Force, which I founded, is having a virtual summit series, the fifth virtual summit series, Climate, Youth and Seniors, on Friday, March 21st, 9 a.m. to noon. We have a whole bunch of amazing speakers, of which are Karina Gould, former Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Mayor Eduardo Martinez, Christy Trousdale, and some organizers of youth. We have an amazing lineup. That's just a few. And you can go to cemtf.org, or you can find Climate Youth and Seniors on Eventbrite and register. It's free, although we do accept donations. And March 21st. And then on the 19th, we have our CEMTF general meeting, which is at 5:30, and we're going to hear from a doctor about climate and seniors, a gastrologist. So join us. I can send that to the secretary, the LSB secretary. So thank you. If you can send that out, that would be great.
Thank you.
And have a blessed day.
Thank you, everyone. I think it's really important to have these announcements. I'm really appreciating that people are sharing what's going on with their communities. So the meeting is adjourned, and please, if you have not received your ballot, please stay after, and Candace will help with that.
So we're adjourned?
You're adjourned?
Yeah, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody.